Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I'll watch the hood wink, cause I make you stop, think. You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the shallot Swiss, I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes, speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about.
Representative Gregory offered the following amendment with title amendment. Barcode 400063, between lines 246 and 247, insert an amendment.
Representative Gregory, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This budget amendment prohibits the state of Florida from spending taxpayer money to advertise or promote a proposed constitutional amendment that will appear on the November 2026 ballot.
That seems like a no-brainer. Surely Representative Gregory would have this right and would be proposing something that everybody's going to support, that they're, you know, you shouldn't take taxpayer funds that, like, might come back in the form of a settlement with Centene, theoretically. I mean, nothing like this would ever actually happen in real life. So in the House of Representatives, Rep. Gregory, who is brand new, she was one of the, remember that there was a empty seat, and then it was empty for a long time, and the governor wouldn't, you know, call a special election. They finally forced him to, and she won in the Mar-a-Lago district. Remember, she's the Democrat who won with, I think her husband is a pilot, and anyway, this is actually her first ever filed amendment, so she gets to be special session. She, like, just came into the House.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Why is this so important?
This is important because taxpayer dollars should not advocate for proposed constitutional amendments before an election. It's in response to the Hope Florida wrongdoing.
Exactly. By the way, I like that expression, the Hope Florida wrongdoing. It's kind of a catch-all for the drama and the alleged illegality. Anyway, Robin Bartleman there explaining why. Emily Gregory.
We know this legislation is needed because the current administration misappropriated tax dollars in the last election to try to sway the outcome of a proposition on the ballot.
Right, that sometimes gets lost in the conversation. It wasn't just the $10 million. It was what it was used for. It was to lobby for the marijuana, I believe, was the primary one. Maybe also the abortion. But, you know, it was used for political lobbying, as she explained. Michelle Rayner.
Rep. Gregory, for your very first ever amendment, girl, you ate that. And I think that this, in all seriousness, I think that this amendment is actually really, really important. Because if you guys are, and I say y'all because us, we voted it down. But if y'all are so committed to the belief that this is such a good thing for the state of Florida, you shouldn't want to have any money to sway any opinion. You should give the people the facts, and the people should be able to make the decision based on facts without any undue government interference. So once again, I think we all should vote up on this really great amendment. And once again, Rep. Gregory, girl, you ate that.
That's just an expression I don't think I had ever heard before. Representative Michelle Rayner, used to be Michelle Rayner Goolsbee. She happens to be gay. She happens to be black. But, you know, I don't know what that expression means. I've never heard it before. She's one of the more entertaining ones in the House. Girl, you ate that. Oh, okay. John, have you ever heard that expression before?
Never in my life.
No, but there we go. You know, we're always behind the curve on what these kids are saying. Angela Nixon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rep. Gregory, I really appreciate this because I believe if this would have been enacted a while ago on the books, we would have saved, I think, around $10 million that went to do political, governmental interference. You know, it seems that our government likes to interfere with a lot of stuff illegally and unconstitutionally. So, again, I just want to say thank you for this. Good job. And I look forward to you in the House.
It was kind of funny because other people had kind of asked the question. I think this was in this same segment in the House. There's some similar kind of conversations in the House, or in the Senate. But and they were asking, well, how much money do you think might be involved? And the Speaker was like, we don't need to talk about that. Like, they were trying to not bring up the $10 million. He's trying to kind of keep it quiet because everybody is sort of trying to get along with DeSantis, even while they're sort of trying to tell him that he's totally wrong about his proposal, at least half of it. Anyway, Anna Escamani, my personal favorite Democrat in the House.
And I just want to congratulate you on your first amendment. I'm excited to pass the torch to my next generation of lawmakers. And of course, just echo the points made that we have seen this executive branch practice unethical behavior to get what they want from the voters. And if we don't provide this restriction, this protection, absolutely nothing stops this administration from doing it again.
Right.
And so that's why we need this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Skidmore.
Yeah. And in fact, there was a question, and it's still an open question of, you know, the website that's supposed to tell you what your millage, your trim notice is going to say. Like, you can go online and look up your address and it'll tell you how much you're going to save in property taxes if this passes. The question was asked, well, how did that website get funded? And nobody has an answer. Nobody knows. And the complaint was, well, it seems to tell you what you'll save, but does it also tell you which services are going to get cut? Or is it just a political propaganda piece that only tells you the advantages of this, in which case it seems to be advertising, in which case the funding becomes important? But, you know, these are not just theoretical questions. Anyway, Kelly Skidmore, another Democrat.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. This, we should call this amendment the Representative Andrade Amendment, oh, quite honestly.
This is not an honor you necessarily want, but they're right. I mean, this was all exposed and pursued by Representative Andrade, Alex Andrade, and repeatedly to his own great personal detriment and the detriment of projects in our district, because the governor retaliated against him for it. Defending his then, chief of staff, James Uthmeyer, who's now become the attorney general for all of this misbehavior. Anyway, so the Democrats are, it's the Alex Andrade amendment, because it's the whole thing with the Centene and the money and all that. And that's great.
Quite honestly, we should dedicate it to Representative Andrade, who so bravely fought this fight during our regular session. And
so the last thing that Alex Andrade is doing in the House is getting celebrated by the Democrats for something that should have been celebrated by everybody, unfortunately. So anyway, Kelly Skidmore goes on to explain, look, we shouldn't be using taxpayer money to persuade taxpayers of what to do. It's like, you know, making union reps or union members pay union dues so that you can then persuade them that unions are awesome. Like, it's just, it's squirrely. Absolutely. Emily Gregory again.
I hope this could be bipartisan. The hope legislature on. Places this constitutional amendment on the ballot. In this case, one affecting provision Article 7 of the Florida Constitution, which deals with taxation and finance. The state of Florida cannot and should not use state funds for television ads, mailers, digital ads, or other promotional campaigns encouraging voters to support it.
Right.
Using public dollars to sway a voter is disingenuous, and it doesn't trust the voter. I trust the Florida voter when given the full scope of the issue to make a decision that best serves them and their family.
Yeah, as she said, we can hope that this would be bipartisan. You know, why not? Nobody wants political advertising to be spent on behalf of a proposition. Let the voters decide means let the voters decide, not let the voters be propagandized by their own government, right? Again, Emily Gregory, closing.
We know this legislation is needed because we saw what happened last election. At the time, the Health Care Budget Subcommittee investigated how the governor secretly diverted $10 million in state funds to the Hope Florida Foundation, with most money ending up in a political committee to oppose amendments on the ballot. Chair Andrade had said, "We have public officials who don't feel obligated to act transparently and don't have any concerns about shaving funds owed to the state off the top and then diverting them for their own intended use."
Yeah.
He was right. Public officials are obligated to act transparently. To be precluded from shaving funds belonging to the state and diverting them to their own intended uses, such as campaigning in favor of and to support an amendment to our state's constitution. House members voted unanimously for Chair Andrade's bill. Transparency would require House members to vote unanimously in favor of this amendment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they all agreed then. Then it didn't go anywhere. And now, what do you think is going to happen, John? What do you think? Are the Republicans going to be like, yeah, Andrade's right. Yeah, $10 million was stolen. Yeah, DeSantis and Uthmeyer made it a very bad boo-boo, at least.
They're not.
All those in favor of the amendment say yay. All those opposed say no. Show the amendment is not adopted. Read the next amendment.
Democrats cheered yay. Republicans cheered no. So disappointing. Andrade got a standing ovation from the Democrats for something that previously Republicans had said they agreed about. But under these circumstances,
no, I don't want to be bullied.
Oh, my God. It's listen. I want to praise the Senate for pushing back on the governor and doing some things that he didn't want to have happen. Now, he's not been accosting them the way he accosted the House for all these months, mostly because he's getting what he wants and he's getting at least some of what he wants, and he can't come out and say they're a bunch of ninny heads and yet they're doing what he wants. But he kind of wants to. I'm sure he wants to. Oh, they cut the schools one. Dang it. You know, I know he's angry about that. But I watched a bit of the House and a lot of the Senate discussion of this yesterday, and I was disappointed in my party. Once again, the thing we're seeing in Tallahassee is that it's bad when a party has so much clout, so much sway, that they don't even care about being reasonable anymore. They just want to do whatever they want to do. It's better when you have to answer for your votes and you're accountable to the voters and there's a real contest in your district, because then, you know, if somebody proposes something reasonable, you have to do the reasonable thing instead of just doing whatever the party says to do. And I was disappointed in the GOP yesterday for all the different... I was literally, in particularly with this one, but also in the Senate, several amendments that got filed, and I thought, that's a good one. Nope. That's a good one. Nope. Over and over and over again. So the problem of too much power, too much of a supermajority, means that you don't have to bother being reasonable anymore. 437-1620, 437-1620. So it's going to go on the ballot. It passed overwhelmingly in both the House and the Senate. So in November, you're going to vote on whether to increase the homestead exemption if you are a Florida resident by the first of the year to $150,000 the first year, to $250,000 the second year, and thereafter keeping up with the cost of inflation. And if you are not a resident at that time, you basically have to go through a five-year probationary period. I had asked the question, what if you're a resident who doesn't own a house? What happens when you buy a house, like in 2029? What do you get the first year? And the answer I got was, you're a resident, you're okay. It's for people who move here from, say, Mississippi or Georgia or whatever. They would have to wait 5 years before they'd get the full, what they're calling a super exemption or a super homestead. You know, the regular homestead and the super homestead is kind of the way they're referring to this. So that's the big deal. The smaller deal are some of the other things I mentioned before, like cutting the non-residential Save Our Homes increase in valuation from 10% to 5%, fully support that. No longer affecting school districts. I've said a lot about this, but anyway, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have a lot of conversation between here and then in November, but, you know, that's what happened yesterday in the House and the Senate. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of houses and prices and markets, if you are in need or interest of buying a home, selling a home, doing both, of course, very common. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are very, very good at this. They sold 209 homes last year. That's 4 week, every week, week after week, on average. You know, some is six, some is two, but on average, 4 week, which is a lot. That's a lot of experience for their team. That's a lot of problem solved, a lot of collective wisdom, and a lot of, you know how when you learn a thing at first, you have to really think about doing it the right way, but then over time, when you've done it enough times, you just automatically do it right, and you see anything that's out of place. Well, they have that same experience from having done so many deals. They know, well, this is what we need to tweak, this is how we need to change the landscaping or the staging or the open house or the price, and they just kind of do it automatically. Meanwhile, they're always trying to learn as well, and that experience means that you save time and money. That's your, and you get all the way to closing. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins.
MVR.
Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Do you want me to leave the room?
That won't be necessary, Hodgkins. We can talk under the cone of silence.
The cone of silence?
Well, this is a magenta alert, isn't it?
I'll never minimize what happened on January 6th, and I'll always believe by God's grace we did our duty that day to the seat of the peaceful transfer of power under the Constitution. It's one of the reasons why this talk of a weaponization fund,
right.
The idea of creating a fund that could compensate people who assaulted police officers and vandalized the Capitol that day is totally unacceptable. My hope is the administration will drop it. Drop the idea entirely.
And, you think Senate Republicans will make them drop it because it's hard to stand up to the president, many Republicans find?
Well,
because of what you just said.
It is.
Primaries and those midterms.
It is, but I've been heartened by the number of Republicans in the Senate who've spoken out against it. Look, mm-hmm. the people that assaulted police officers on January 6th and vandalized our Capitol should not get one dime of taxpayer money from that fund or anywhere else.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. I completely agree with Mike Pence on this. I've said so many times, the whole thing is crazy. The $10 billion lawsuit, and then Trump settles with Trump, on behalf of other people and exempts himself from the payments, but he's settling with his own Department of Justice. It's crazy. Republicans have been pushing back on this. Democrats, of course, have been pushing back on this. And then, they kind of acted like they were backing away from it, after all of the pushback over this. And then you even had the new secretary or the Todd Blanche says he's a new acting Department of Justice AG says, we're not going to move forward with this at all. We're done. It's over. We're not doing this. And they're like, will you put it in writing? Well, but here's fascinating, always buried in this story. If you've been following this one all along, this is the 1776, the $1,776 million fund. Okay. What's fascinating about this is that the rest of the deal was what? That Trump and his family could no longer be investigated by the IRS over back taxes, right? All of that was part of the settlement or arrangement, if you prefer to call it that way, because if you don't have a second party, it's hard to call it a settlement. And if Trump is versus Trump. But now the fund appears to be gone. But what did not leave is that the rest of the settlement from which the weaponization fund came remains in place, including the government agreement to refrain from any auditing of any of the president or his family's previous tax returns. And so the rest of the deal benefiting Trump and his family is still in place. So, you know, what is Trump's modus operandi? He's talked about it in the art of the deal, right? Ask for 1,000, they come back with 200, and you save 600, and they, right? You always ask for more than is reasonable, and then eventually get what you actually wanted. Did he want $10 billion? Did he want $2 billion? Or did he just want to be out of investigation? And now it seems like the taxpayers got a big win. Or did they? Well, I mean, that's the question.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. California officials still counting votes in those primary races. Republican gubernatorial candidate Steve Hilton.
I'm here to fight for you and to help you to have that chance at following your dream, whatever it is.
And Democrat Javier Becerra.
As your governor, I am ready to lead the fight to uphold California's promise.
Are leading an unofficial early returns. Meanwhile,
incumbent Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass has advanced to a November runoff after failing to capture 51% of the votes needed to win outright. She could face Republican reality TV star Spencer Pratt.
That's Fox's Sue Guzman. Pratt looking to hold on to second place. Democrat Nithya Raman has not conceded yet. Republican Congresswoman Ashley Hinson trouncing her opponent will run for the open U.S. Senate seat in November against Democrat Josh Turk, who defeated Zach Walls. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 73 degrees with cloudy skies right now. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola officials say city attorney Adam Cobb sent a formal letter to EMR Southern Recycling this week, and the facility has already agreed to meet. During a press conference yesterday, Mayor D.C. Reeves also corrected the record on just how many fires have happened at that scrapyard on South Myrick Street.
It is not foreign that facilities like this have issues. It is foreign for cities to have five fires where our taxpayers are paying to have to go put out these fires happening in a span of 2 years. That is what the outlier, and that's why something has to be addressed. So.
And Mayor Reeves says initial investigations show that facility was not following fire marshal instructions on managing scrap pile size, instructions the city says they've communicated after previous fires. He says while the city can't force a legally operating private business to shut down, they do hope the meeting between the city and the company can produce some safety improvements. Well, we have an update on the homeless drop-off dispute we've been following. Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno sat down with Orange Beach City Administrator Ford Handley yesterday, and officials say they did come away with a commitment. Orange Beach will no longer be transporting homeless individuals across the state line into Escambia County. Moreno says the same goes the other way, but Escambia County officials do say that problem goes beyond Orange Beach, pointing to buses from the Birmingham and Montgomery areas and groups even all the way from Bay County dropping people off in Pensacola. Now, two suspects at the center of a disturbing Escambia County child abuse case are facing upgraded charges and sitting in jail on bonds totaling $1.5 million. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says investigators worked hard to determine who actually committed the abuse before they made the enhanced charges.
We always kind of thought, well, you know, we have to decide who did the actual abuse, who caused the damage, severe damage to these children, these very young children, too, by the way. And our investigators have done a jam-up job. They have arrested and now charged these two, not just with the felony neglect, but also with the child abuse itself.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons there. He says the investigation does remain open. and detectives are still working through the full scope of just what happened. A daycare director was also arrested for failing to report documented evidence of abuse on three occasions, despite a Florida law requiring all adults over 18 to report any suspected abuse. Well, turtles are surfacing along Pensacola Beach. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report.
Pensacola Beach was the site for the first loggerhead nest of the season. Five nests were discovered by Sea Turtle Patrol volunteers. That's on top of four loggerhead nests recorded on Perdido Key just last week. P&J reports May and June are the busiest nesting months. Hopefully, we'll see more nests in the coming weeks. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 73 degrees here across the area with cloudy skies. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing those temperatures slightly cooler today with some cloudy skies. 81 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Thursday, sunny skies, high near 82. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Heading into Friday, 20% chance of a stray shower, high near 83 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that available employment hit 7.6 million for April, a surge of 731,000 from the prior month, and the highest level since May of 2024. While openings jumped, the hiring rate slipped. Companies hired a total of roughly 5.1 million workers during the month. That's a decline of 419,000 from March. Pittsburgh's Astrobotic, whose Griffin 1 lunar lander is set to launch later this year, is being acquired by Denver-based Voyager Technologies for up to $300 million. The company's announced that the cash and stock deal is expected to close in July, pending regulatory approval. President Trump has adjusted tariffs on some steel, aluminum, and copper imports, lowering some tariffs on farming equipment and extending the lower rate to other equipment. In an executive order, Trump lowered tariffs on agricultural equipment to 15% from the original 25%. Futures are mixed as investors watch for Iran war developments. That's Your Money Now.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Andrew
McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us here in studio, as he always does on a Tuesday, we have Chip Simmons. He is the Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. So let's see. We're, searching for a bank robber, basically, right?
We are, yeah. Some dude came in. I say dude. He appears to be heavily disguised in either a wig.
That's not his original hair.
It could be. Could be his original glasses. Could be original tattoos. Who knows? But we did put the picture out on our social media platform. It's been widely circulated. We're looking for this guy. And if anyone has information on him or what a vehicle he may have gotten into, we're certainly looking at all avenues at this point. It's very rare that we have a bank robbery nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like everyone's like, really? Do we really have a bank robbery? You don't get the money you used to, I guess, in the 40s and 30s.
When you could tell people, stick them up, see? Yeah, stick them up.
And you take the whole, open the safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really the way it works anymore. However, we are looking for this guy. It's very serious. He didn't have a weapon, as I understand it, but he passed a note. And he got away with a undisclosed amount of cash. Not a lot, but an undisclosed amount of cash. And we're looking for him. So if you know of him, if you've recognized that wig or that information, please let us know.
Now, would this be a situation? I mean, I assume the answer is yes, because literally the Supreme Court case about geofence warrants was a bank robbery. So is this the kind of case where you've gone and, you know, asked for the data on cell phones because that would allow you to identify who had phones in the vicinity, and then you could be able to narrow down your search and maybe connect with a license plate reader and a tag and that kind of stuff?
This is the type of case that we would do that, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right.
For your listeners, what we're talking about is we can do a search warrant for the phones that pinged in that area at that time, and then we can
like
isolate,
anything within 100 yards of the bank, right, between right. The 12:30 and 12:50 or whatever.
Right. You know? Very strict guidelines on, mm-hmm. on what we can access. But it's the same thing with when we do a wiretap or a phone tap, we'll call T3. There's, you know, we don't just listen to every single conversation that a person has. We have what they call minimization, and we have to be signed in, and we have to do all kinds of protocols and all kinds of safeguards so that we, which is you minimize the call and you come back up periodically. Nope, still talking about, you know, magnolias, and then go back.
Got
down.
It. So personal communications unrelated to potential crimes don't get recorded, don't get monitored.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that, but that's just, there's
no, that's,
always,
no
there's
I didn't realize that either. I thought once you had the tap in place that you essentially recorded everything and then went back through it, but you actually minimize as it's happening the things that are irrelevant to what you're talking about.
Everything is recorded, but if you minimize what you can hear and then you log what's evidentiary.
I see.
And you only go back to that in that portion of it is evidentiary.
Okay, so you do go back and have the ability to query it. But what makes geofence warrants so different is the record, you didn't know to create the record. The record was created by the private company that operates the telecom or the social media or whatever you're using. And you're going back to query that, whereas like with a wiretap, you now have the permission to create the record from which you draw information. So it's a little, I think it's a fascinating law enforcement technique precisely because you're going back to create as if you were looking in a search back in time kind of, and you know.
Well, I think it's important to note that these are not done just
for run-of-the-mill things, right.
You need to have a search warrant with specifically asking a judge, this is what we're looking for, this is where we'll find it, and that's all that we're looking for. And then it was within this period of time, and then we have to do what we call a return to the judiciary and say, this is what we've collected.
It's a very regulated process.
Absolutely.
With very specific
parameters. As you would expect.
Of course.
As we all support.
Let's see. We also have an upgrade on some charges. This is the case with the women who had the children that were poorly treated, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And you guys have now gotten what? Enhanced charges against them, right?
Yeah. If you remember, this is the lady brought, I think it's a 3-year-old, into a medical facility. And when a doctor looked at the child, was like, oh my, this needs to be reported.
Mm-hmm.
He stepped out for a second. She took the child and took off. This. So we were able to use license plate readers. We determined where she was, stopped her, saved the children, for lack of a better term, and then we charged them at the time with felony neglect for not providing the care, for leaving.
Yeah.
But we always kind of thought, well, you know, we have to decide who did the actual abuse, who caused the damage, severe damage to these children, these very young children too, by the way. And our investigators have done a jam-up job. They have arrested and now charged these two, not just with the felony neglect, but also with the child abuse itself.
And they're in jail on $1 million bond. Well, one isn't on $1 million, one's on $500,000. So very, very serious charges, obviously.
Yeah. And this is very complicated. There's biological children, there's foster children, there's a number of different programs where they've gone in and out of. We arrested an individual at a daycare because these particular children were at a daycare, and they had on three separate instances that documented abuse, but they failed to call the hotline. We talked a lot about that. So this is that. This is all that investigation. We've not completed the investigation. We're still looking at trying to again unravel some of what happened, how it happened, and whether any of that meets the criminal nature.
And what I think about in this particular case is, we know about these ones and we're prosecuting these ones, and there are, I am sure, loads of other cases that we just don't realize, don't know about. The things don't rise to this level. People don't become aware. But it is, it's weirdly for me, it's very satisfying to see at least one make the news, be prosecuted, and make neglectors or abusers think twice, you know, maybe about what they're doing, because anything that's going to help these kids to not suffer, you know.
I agree. You know, in my mind, it's also a reminder to others, you know, mm-hmm. what, oh, wait a minute, I think I know someone that might be doing mm-hmm. that, and I didn't realize I was supposed to report.
Mandatory report, right, for all humans, not just doctors and social workers and teachers, right.
Yeah, so there's a deterrent effect, but there's also this reminder and awareness, if you will, our children are our most precious commodity.
If you see something with kids, you better say something. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. For the business with Orange Beach, would it be inaccurate to describe it as trafficking homeless people across state lines?
Trafficking to me in law enforcement has kind of like a different connotation.
Particularly with regards to sex and slavery and that kind of stuff.
And drugs. And so okay. I don't really know. All I know is that they, on at least two occasions now that we know of, though we have heard tale of many times this has taken place. In fact, since this has gone public, if you will, I've been inundated with phone calls and texts. Yeah, I live here, and this is what's going on. This is why we don't have homeless either, because I've seen it happening, and it's just not right.
And not just Orange Beach PD, but other entities as well.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, it's a drain on our limited resources mm-hmm. that we have to help the homeless that we have in here that's either native to Escambia County or those that are passing through. And we're not saying that we're not closing our borders or anything, because we understand there are nonprofits that are still transporting people into Escambia County with two other nonprofits here. And I'm trying to get my head wrapped around just how many are coming here, because we have been trying in earnest to try to help those that are homeless, specifically mm-hmm. those in certain areas around the Waterfront Rescue Mission. That's why we were there. That's why our deputy was there and saw an Orange Beach police car way, way out of the jurisdiction, out of their state. And we're like, what do you need some help? You need some help, buddy? Yeah. What's going on here? We didn't know you were doing an operation. come to find out, their claim again, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but their claim is that he wanted to, you know, I guess he knocked on the door and said, hey, buddy, can I catch a ride with you to Escambia County, Florida? and they decided, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. Even though when he got here, he said, I don't want services here at Waterfront Rescue Mission. I really want to go to my home in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds vastly different than you know, a benevolent car ride.
Right.
But anyways, that I just wanted to know why it's happening. That's the first question was, why is this happening? Why is someone bringing someone way over here? Now, there is a program. It's true. It's a program where entities, not just Escambia County, the Sheriff's Office doesn't do it, but the Escambia County does, where they will offer bus rides if you had somewhere specific to go and someone that would accept you. You're going to a family member.
Back home.
Yeah, going back home. You know, that's not the case in this particular situation.
Right.
If this is the case, I'll go down there, and I'm sure probably 50 people would love just a free ride to Orange Beach.
this may be a terrible analogy, but it's one that comes to mind. It's like they're treating homeless people like they're leaves that they can just leaf blower into your yard, and then it's not in their yard anymore. And now you got to take care of the problem. You know, you got to deal with it. There's no crime particularly here, but it's inappropriate. I mean, it feels such an undescription to say it's unneighborly, you know, but it's just weird.
Well, that's the ironic part. Someone said, well, that's not, you know, this is not a cooperative spirit that you're giving there, Sheriff. Well, wait a minute.
Why should we, why are we taking
people to my county? That's the epitome of not being a cooperative spirit. But you know, I as I understand it, there's a conversation that has
Well, I mean, literally, happened. Mayor shoots his mouth off, called you not gentlemanly. Because, I mean,
yeah,
and he's got some of his own issues, okay? We won't get into all of it.
That's cute coming from their mayor, yeah.
Look, do some searching. I'll just put it that way. Do some searching anyway.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that I could say that I have
not
said.
You've restrained a lot.
So I think I've been very, my mom would be proud of me.
Oh, look at that. Are they working with you yet?
No one's calling me. I had
even like city council, nobody's
I
like
had a
PD?
Conversation with their police chief and their county administrator and quite frankly, they were telling me that it's just a nice car ride. That's what they do over in Alabama. They're nice people. And I'm sure many of them are. But I wasn't buying it.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I know what's going on. You're not talking to someone. It's not my first day on the job. This is in 1971. You're not, you know, picking up John Rambo and kicking him off at the county line.
Sheriff Teasel, come on.
Yeah, it's not I'm not buying it.
So what can you do? I mean, there's no crime here, right? What power do you have?
No crime. I'm not accusing them of a crime. I can tell you there are very strict guidelines and rules on what we can do with a homeless individual here in Escambia County. We can't just force them to leave. If they're in a public area, we can't say you can't be here.
Yeah.
You can't say you can get anywhere you want to, but you can't be in my town. Well, we can't do that. That is illegal. And so we're really just making people aware, Escambia County citizens aware. The homeless situation that we're battling every day, that, you know, a lot of those people are not from around here. A lot of those people are being dropped off here. And your tax, at least a portion of your tax dollars, are going towards, you know, towards these services.
And your charitable dollars, too. I mean, you know, because, you know, like we give to Waterfront and, you know, that's,
right.
You know, I don't mind helping people. We like helping people, but still, you know, I want to help our people first because they're our people. That's kind of my community obligation.
Yeah, I want to make sure. I think I said city, county administrator, really city manager at Orange Beach. I
gotcha.
Make sure that we're clear. We're not talking about Baldwin County.
Okay, got it.
About Orange Beach.
Jimmy Patronis, as you know, has proposed to decriminalize, legalize, make it easier for basically anybody who can buy a gun to buy a machine gun. That would, you know, make your old pre-1986 ban machine guns not be worth very much. So the people who own them are probably not that happy about it. But for people who want to own an automatic, an Uzi or a Thompson or an AK-47 or an AR-15 or whatever in a fully automatic form, if this bill ever does pass, that would be legal. You're the law enforcement guy. You know, we talked with Sheriff Johnson about this yesterday, but, you know, everybody had pistols. They bought semi-automatic, you know, they bought Glocks, you bought Glocks. They bought rifles, you bought rifles. They buy fully automatic weapons. What do? It's a different world if the criminals are running around with, you know, fully automatic weapons, right? I mean.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I look at things from a law enforcement perspective. I'm a adamant supporter of the Second Amendment. Now, I have not had a conversation with Jimmy Patronis about this. And I have not, nor have I seen that what it actually says. I'm conflicted. While I do believe that you should have the right to keep and bear arms, I also think that as you just point out, if we have individuals out there with automatic weapons and the law enforcement officers are outgunned, you recall the big case over there in California, I think something happened in Miami with FBI. When law enforcement is outgunned, then you've got problems. I mean, you no longer can control the bad guys that may be carrying these things. And if you think a bad guy is going to right now steal a handgun or some kind of a rifle, they're certainly going to look and steal an automatic weapon. And I think that it's very concerning to me. And to your point, I think that the second that this is legalized, that I'm going to have to start buying automatic weapons for every one of my deputies. Because I can't send a deputy out there with a pistol and you got everyone else walking around openly carrying fully automatic weapons like we're in Beirut.
Yeah, because, I mean, open carry would, you know, I mean, that's a concern as well, right? But the way I think about it is I'm hesitant to be no on anything that's pro-gun.
Right, I'm with you.
But I think about, I mean, it would be fun to have one. I've shot them, you know, with one of your deputies, actually, with Lieutenant Kilgan. But, do I need that for anything that I would need a gun for? And my answer is no, not really. I mean, it's mostly just fun. But the kind of person who wants to do mass damage, all of a sudden, you're giving them, I mean, I know a semi-automatic can do a lot of damage, and that's why it doesn't really matter to me because it's enough for me. But if somebody wants to, you know, shoot up a crowd, I mean, they would rather have a machine gun. And that seems more likely to be abused by the wrong people than to be used for any legitimate Second Amendment purpose by the right people. And that's what concerns me about it, especially because I don't want to see the cops outgunned again, you know, and that's, I think, right, what would happen.
Well, I mean, it would happen on day one, starting on day one. I mean, I'm not saying everyone would be walking around with them. We have open carry, and people aren't necessarily walking around with
not a lot of weapons. It in Scambia.
But there are some. Yeah. There are a few out there with AR strapped to their back, semi-automatic rifles. And I think
here in Scambia, have you seen that?
We've seen them, but very rarely.
Interesting. Okay,
they're just going from because they can't go everywhere, right? they can't even get in and out of their car.
Not getting into Publix like back. That. That's right.
So, but we have seen people just walking around taking pictures and that sort. Most of it's been taking place in different counties.
Okay.
But I think because we support open carry, we're an open carry community, and there's no reason to come here and make a point because we're okay. You know,
we're fine. Okay.
Good job, dude.
Very good. I was going to ask you about property taxes, but we're so completely out of time. I assume you guys are thinking about how things would change if the property tax proposal gets passed today, gets on the ballot and passes, and what that would mean for law enforcement. And thoughts
we're
at this point?
We're certainly thinking about it. We held off because there was no clear plan. Now that the governor has a plan, I believe, as I think I heard you talking about, there's some amendments to that plan, adding things, subtracting things, and we typically wait until the final version is.
Sure.
And there's time for panic, and it's not today, and nice. we'll end up doing that later on. But I know that there are, you know, there's a requirement, if you will, in my words, that you will fund public safety. So I fully expect to be funded as a sheriff's office. I think that I have got to fight for funding at the sheriff's office, and I think that's what people elected me for. So I'll keep doing that.
Whether there's any roads for your deputies to drive on is another question. That's a subsequent matter. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, appreciate the time and what you do to keep us safe. And we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Oh, I got a text in here. Somebody says, Chip for governor. Interested? I mean, you don't want county administrator, but you want, unless it's elected. But governor's elected.
Governor is elected. Yeah.
I love that answer. You're right. Governor is elected. Very diplomatic response, sir. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, just a minor fact worth noting is that the Escambia County Sheriff's Office has an MSTU for 0.685 mils, which means that for every $100,000 you pay, $68, okay? Is that right? No, $7, excuse me. For every 100,000 you pay $7. So you do pay a small amount of money into that every year, but that will be affected by the homestead exemption if the property tax proposal goes through. So there will definitely be an impact on the Escambia County Sheriff's Office direct funding if this winds up passing. I'm Andrew McKay.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Hey, if you're working on a home improvement project or you're building things for a living or you're just repairing a problem, whatever it is, or anywhere in between, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Now, if you're a contractor, like you build things for a living, man, they are really super your place. Commercial construction is their business. They are the supply house. And by the way, they're not just starting at this. They've been doing it for 175 years. That means that they have been the go-to place for people building, rebuilding, remodel Pensacola for 175 years since 1851. They have it in stock. If they don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, unless it's like some very specific product that the engineer or the architect comes up with, that's fine. But generally speaking, they don't make you wait a day because they know what you're going to need and they have it. And they can help you with the codes as the codes change. They can help you with the inspectors. They are your front-to-back service place for anything in the construction field. Talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and ask them what they can do for you. I dare you. I challenge you. Go do it. Ask them. They'll tell you. Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't need protection.
How do you figure?
Ralph Furley, black belt.
Good morning, 559 News Radio 92.3. What does the proposed change in property taxes mean for the city of Pensacola? What does Senator Don Gates say about it? What Democrat proposals came to amend the ballot initiative, and which of them, if any, survived the process? Well, we'll talk about it. This is the big issue right now because Florida is on the verge of going at least partially property tax free.